From the Ante Up headquarters in Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now, here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's April 22nd, 2016. You're listening to the best PokerCast on the high seas. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. And I really don't know whether it's April 22nd.
I think it is April. Well, it's going to be.
See, normally on the cruise ship, you have no sense of time, date, or anything to begin with, right?
Right, right.
So what they usually do, at least from Royal Caribbean, is in the elevators, they put
the days
out the carpet.
The days of the week.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is really cool. Not this one.
I don't have that. Gene said that the minute you got in the elevator, like, what day of the week is it? I don't know. Although that still doesn't give you the date. You only get
the
day.
No, but it's usually a sense, then you have to figure it out from there. But yeah.
And it, or they'll put it on the little Compass daily newsletter thing, but we never read it because we get back to the room so late, or you're passed out drunk that you don't, you can't focus.
I kick it over with the tally and I'm over here.
Oh, you know, so we're on the ship. Obviously, we're on our very fun cruise out of Port Canaveral to the Bahamas this week. A lot of the regulars are on. Faso's on this week. Dr. Frank. A lot of our friends. One of our regulars. That was funny because Faso every day would come up to me and he'll go, "You won't believe it, Chris." I said, "What?" I said, "I get back to my room after dinner, and there's this bat hanging from the ceiling, and he's got my sunglasses on. How does he have, how did he get the sunglasses on?" And I'm like, "All right, cut it out." Because at first, he's all serious, you know. I thought something was going on in his room. So the next day, he's like, "Chris, you're not going to believe it. Got back to my room. There's a monkey hanging from my..." And I'm like, "Calm down, Mike. Joke's getting old." But Mike's in all his glory. He gets to play Limit, Omaha 8.
Yeah, real strong Omaha game going this cruise.
Every single night from beginning to end. And that's the other thing I wanted to bring up. Our poker room has gone to the max late every night, closing at 3 a.m., which...
I'm sure it has nothing to do with the $5 hour comps that we're giving away now.
People are in competition to get the most punches on their card. But that seems to be very successful. People, they really want those cards punched, you know.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is if you come on a cruise, we started with the L.A. cruise, which is our January cruise, and we did it now, and we're going to continue because obviously it's very successful, at least for the players. I don't
right,
know about us
right,
yet. But
we'll figure it out.
But for every hour of cash games you play on our annual cruises, you get $5 off your next cruise. So if you play 40 hours, you get $200 off your next cruise.
Yeah, a lot of guys trying to fill up that card with stamps. And Faso is like, they're coming up with nicknames for Ramsey, our poker room manager. They're calling him like Punch Buggy and, you know, Punch Boy and Punch Drunk.
Punch Monkey was my favorite.
Yeah, so it's creating a sort of a buzz, you know, and people are making sure they stick around for that hour to play. And it's been really, really well received. And every table's full.
Yeah.
Every table's been
really
full
nice to see.
Pretty much all night long, all day long. We're recording a show now while they're doing the $100 re-entry tournament, which is full, basically. It's just been a real good week, a lot of fun, and so much play that you and I haven't really played. We've started games a couple of times. I've literally played two hands this week.
Really?
Yeah, literally just two hands. I've won them both.
I've actually played a little bit more than that, but not much. So
I mean, I've been at a table.
Yeah.
But I've only played two hands, voluntarily put money in, and every time I had blinds in, they raised and I folded. So I literally have only played two hands.
Now, this is remarkable for me because, you know, our listener may not always know this, but we play to get games started,
right,
keep them going, and then we get up when
people want our seats.
When passengers come in.
Right.
So it's almost like being, well, it is being a prop player, right? So
yeah,
you don't get to choose the game. You're playing it shorthanded to begin with. It's almost always no limit, which I hate to play.
Yeah.
So on the LA cruise, I just got blasted trying to keep the games going, which is so unfair. And then this cruise, I'm actually ahead of the game. I actually I lost 20 once, only because I only got to play like two hands.
Two hands,
I had to get up, but so I don't really count that as a loss. But otherwise than that, I've been doing pretty well. So, but I've been hankering to get on that Omaha game. I love that Omaha game with those players, but we've never had any seats, at least until late
night. We actually made every table 10-handed.
Yeah.
So that enough people could keep playing and be happy. So, but I know that feeling. You have that feeling of ego versus businessman. You know, okay, the right thing to do is offer your seat to the person the minute they come in, but you're down $20. They're like, I want to get that $20 back. Then I'll give them my seat.
Just let me play one more hand.
But you can't do it. You got to give them the seat.
Yeah, one of my sessions, I bought in for $200, played the small blind, and then I had to give them my seat. So I had to cash out for
$199. I did that the other night with $8. I had to cash out for $192. Same thing. I just paid my blinds twice around, and I was done. So, a couple other things going on this week. We have one table where they're playing 1-2-5-10. And I'm really interested to see what our listeners think about this, because they changed it. The beginning of the cruise, they made it a regular 2-5 buy-in, so 200 minimum, 500 max. And then they were playing 2-5, and then they said, let's make it 2-5-10. They said, okay, it was like a mandatory straddle or whatever it was, so it made the gameplay obviously much bigger.
Sure.
But then the next night, they changed it to a 100-300 buy-in, and it was 1-2-5-10,
yeah.
Or whatever, 2-5-10. Well, yeah, well, I guess maybe it was 1-2-5-10, I don't know what it was, but it was anyway, it was either 3 or 4 blinds. And I just can't see the vision in this, and I think you even talked about one of our really good friends and really good players. Brent is on the ship this week, and you talked to ad nauseum about it with him.
Yeah.
What is the benefit of this?
So apparently, this is a game that they offer. They spread at the Palm Beach Kennel Club in Florida, where lots of our players on this cruise came from, because Kennel Club gave away
some crap.
20
right.
packages.
Right.
So they offer it at, I think, just one table. It's not the normal 2-5 game that they have.
Right.
But for whatever reason, players there wanted to cap the buy-in. So it's a 2-5-10 with a 300 max buy-in, which just seems ridiculous to me. Back in the old days of Florida, when we only could buy in for $100, I understood that people wanted to play the 5-10 and just get a bunch of money in, because that's what you had to do. But now you don't.
Yeah.
Now we're free to play whatever you want.
Exactly.
So I did ask our friend Brent, I was like, you know, help me understand why anybody would want to play this. And his theory, and it probably makes sense, is that the players may not be true at the level of a normal 2-5 player, and so they lose a lot of money when on the turn in the river. So when the poker really gets to the poker part of it is where they're not as skillful and they lose too much money. So this way it keeps the buy-in low, so it actually minimizes their mistakes, is what he says.
Okay.
So you have less money to get stacked off with, and it forces you to play more pre-flop, which is where they're good. I mean, anybody, as he said, anybody knows how to play aces or kings pre-flop.
It's, right,
you know,
right.
Playing aces, kings on the turn of the river that you get in trouble with. Now, so he said, I don't think the players would describe the game to you that way. But from his opinion, he said that's what he thinks it is. It just helps people minimize mistakes.
And
I may not understand it, but they obviously...
I feel like, though, it's in the early stages of the night that it helps them. But if you go on any kind of a run,
exactly,
you're ultimately going to get 2,000 in front of you or something, and then you're going to still lose all that money, just you're losing in smaller
increments. I did ask about that. I'm trying to think back to what his point was about that, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, you know, so now you build your stack to 1,000, 2,000, and then the new guy comes to the table and only brings 300, so
yeah,
you're not going to get... You're only going to get 300 from them. So
right.
Once you have that much stack, don't you want
a chance to win
that
much? Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know. But these guys were playing it. It was a full table the first night. Or the first night of the regular game, it was full table. Second night, it was full table playing this way, but then it kind of pared down. Last night, they were playing heads up for most of the night. Two guys,
yeah,
just they really
so
liked to play.
Everybody else that wanted to come in then. But they were happy to play heads up.
Yeah,
and I sat there and watched it forever. I'm always impressed to watch people play heads up cash.
Yeah.
Because I also don't get that. I don't have the ego, I guess, and maybe that's the wrong word for it, but I don't really know what you're getting there. And the tournament is a different story, because it's, I don't know, the strategy. You're trying to get all the chips. I mean, that's the only goal, right? Because
right. It's
not going to end until you get the other person's chips.
Right.
And cash, I mean, at some point somebody could just say, all right, I'm done, get up. And so I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a game I would want to play. Now, of course, they wanted to play the bigger stakes, and no one else did, so they were hoping that more people would sit down and play. But and I'm glad more people didn't sit down, because I was tempted just to take a shot at the 300, just, you know, for a little bit.
Yeah.
But no, and then no one else sat down, so I just got to sit there and watch play heads up.
Yeah. Eventually, they went three-handed, and I think they almost got four-handed. They might have gotten four-handed for a few minutes. I'm not sure, but they definitely got three-handed for a while. and then a couple of bad beats, that guy got up and left, and then went back to heads up for pretty much the whole night. Hmm. I mean, I think they it finally broke around, that game broke around 12:30. That's right around when I was leaving. So yeah, they played heads up all night, and it was fine by us because we're raking it, and you know, we're not going to stop somebody wants to play if they play. Yeah. It could have gotten hairy if a bunch of people wanted to come in and play a game. We had no table for, you know, I don't know what would have happened then, but but it worked out just fine, and lots of money. You know, we got the gold chips out this trip, and we don't usually get the gold 25s out that often.
We used those in several cruises, but
and now there's stacks of them. Guys have three or four stacks of them. You're like, oh my, that's a lot of money, you know. A lot of big stacks at tables this week, I've noticed. A lot of people went in some big pots and a lot of action. You know, that's what happens when you fill the tables and they play all night long. You know, stacks are going
to
get big.
Interesting to see 600-800 hours in front of people in a 1-3 game. Yeah. Well, that's what was happening. So
really good, though. Also, I got, I broke my, I decided to play left, right, center.
Yes.
This is the game that Scott and the gang here, especially the locals, the regulars, I mean, they love to play this kid's game that they perverted.
Ah, a kid's game.
It's a kid's game that they perverted into an adult game with money.
It's just a game. It doesn't have to be a kid's game or adult game. It's just a game.
It says ages.
It's not Candyland.
On the side of the thing, it says for kids ages 6 and lower is what it says. Not up. That's how you know. But they started this a few cruises ago. It's got to be a good 5 or 6 jeez, cruises at least. It's the dice game where on the dice there's 3 dice and on each one of them there's an L, an R, and a C and 3 dots. And you start with, in our case, you start with $3, 3 singles, and you roll the dice. If you roll a dot, for that dice you get to keep a dollar. If you roll an L, that dollar goes to someone to the left. If you roll an R, it goes to the person to the right. And if you roll a C, it goes in the middle, and that's the pot. Ultimately, when there's one person left with money and he rolls, if he rolls a dot, he wins all the money and the game's over. And if he rolls a C, it goes in the middle and everybody gets to get back into the game again for another dollar until you win. So of course I hate this game because it's not skill. There's zero skill involved. And I had an interesting conversation with Dr. Frank up at the Solarium. We were relaxing yesterday while everyone else was at Nassau about gambling and whether or not things were gambling. And if there's any money involved, it's always gambling. And I said, well, what about when there's no money involved? Is it still gambling? And he's like, no. I said, well, I would want to disagree with you a little bit there.
Yeah.
Because you can gamble your life away by going down to K-12 on a ski lodge or, you know, or something. So there are things that you're wagering. It just doesn't have to be money. So we had this conversation about when I was gambling. If there's skill involved, it's gambling, but there's less, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Chris, there's always an element of risk or luck or whatever. Because it went back to the whole, when I was talking about the bowling league conversation, that's how it started, about having a league in poker where there's a handicap system or whatever. So I think that in this game, it's one, there's no, you, is there any strategy, Scott, in the years that you've been playing this game that you can think of? I don't think of a strategy. My strategy was I closed my eyes at the end and just rolled, and it worked. Every time I closed my eyes, I rolled a dot and got to keep my money.
So. No, there's absolutely zero strategy.
Right, there's zero strategy. So
just roll the dice and hold. But that's what makes it exciting. And I think it's why it's a fun game for lots of reasons. One, it's a little tube.
Right.
With like 3 dice.
Right.
And so you can really, it's like a size of a chapstick thing. So you can carry it everywhere. So it's good if you're just hanging out with people somewhere and you just need to pass the time. And you don't need to bring a huge big Cards Against Humanity box thing, right?
Right.
I do think there's something to be said for games that have no skill involved in terms of them being more fun. Now, maybe not necessarily for you and me.
Right.
Or any of our listeners who like to play poker, because part of the fun of poker is that it's skill and you can get better at it. I think, you know, we do these left, right, centers, and people, there's nobody that's ever played this game who hasn't just immediately loved it and become addicted to it. And because it does, I think, tap into that part of your brain that just likes to gamble. We all have that. Now we're only talking 3 hours here. Losing the college kids' tuition fund here. But it's an equalizer. So now for those people that have never played games or never played poker, or they look at poker and they're like, my gosh, I'm going to lose all my money because I don't know what I'm doing. Here's a game that no one knows what they're doing because there's nothing to know what to do, right? So so everybody's on the equal footing, and then it's just about rolling the dice and hoping they come up, right? And So I think there's something to that. I mean, obviously, we're not going to turn into a left, right, center professional league, global poker. Left,
that's
right,
our
center.
Next. Yep. That's our LRC cast. That's our next show that we're going to come out with. I'm Chris Cosenza,
and I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Ante Up is a production of AnteUpMagazine.com. Contact the show at podcast@AnteUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 206-338-6344. If you'd like to advertise, send an email to advertising@AnteUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.